Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Willoughby.
That would be a little weird.
That's near some of your old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
You know where it is?
I don't think so.
You take Highway 15 down like you're going to Decatur, and you get off. What road is this?
What road is it? Outside of, like,
you take Union? 494, and you can get there.
Outside of Union?
Yeah, it's between Union and Decatur.
Okay.
So there you go.
I know where that is.
That's like, you should know where you're headed there.
I've driven that road many a time.
Yes, indeed. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it. So get it. Get some new gear. Get the state script, the interlocking, the M over S. It's all right there for you at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowo by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. For lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, you have to grab a meal at Restaurant Tyler. Otherwise, you didn't really come to Starkville. This weekend, if you're going to be here for football, if you're just around town, whenever, the best meal in town, it's easy to find. It's right there at the corner of Washington and Main Street. It's at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where they're located, but show you how they're going to help you manage your money, help you invest, help you plan for the future. Now more than ever, it is so important to be able to talk to people about your money. When you have questions, you want answers, you can't afford to wait around. That's why Priority One Bank offers a level of service that you just can't get from those big corporate banks. They treat you like family. They treat you like the customers that you want to be. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Press conference day over at the SEAL building. Jeff Lebby talks to the media. Let's get today's time. Here we go. Here at SEAL. 11:21 a.m. No, I'm sorry. That's not Lebby is here. My bad. Starting over. 11:42 a.m. Lebby is here.
Very prompt.
Very good. Yeah. That's when he said he'd be here at 11:30 or 11:40. 11:53 a.m. That's it for Lebby. So 11 minutes.
It felt like the longest one we've had. Like it felt like a fairly lengthy press conference. Well, a bunch of questions.
We got a lot of questions. The man answers questions like he calls plays. He's working with tempo. So
East Carolina fans on message board geniuses.
You want Lincoln Riley?
If Lincoln Riley is available, would you want to hire?
I'm kind of surprised. Why settle for him? I mean, Kirby Smart's right there.
That's true.
That's a short commute for him.
I mean, Lincoln Riley is probably going to be Ole Miss's offensive coordinator. So
I've heard that rumor. So, the first thing he said, I won't make that the sign, but it's interesting. He talked about, you know, on first and second down, I thought that was as good a defense as we've played all year long. But not being able to get off the field was the difference. We should have delved a little further in that, and like, you know, but I don't know that he would necessarily know the answer because he's not calling the defensive signals. Mm-hmm. But was there a difference in what they were doing on first and second down than there was on third down? Would be an interesting thing to know.
Yeah, I haven't really broken down the film, but I do know on third down it just seemed like State was playing soft coverage and and allowing a lot of things to happen in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that had something to do with it, but it kind of seemed like they were doing that all day. Yeah. So I don't know if that was just a third down thing or what. Like I said, I haven't looked back at the film or anything to try to break it down. I'm not going to act like I'm a big X's and O's guy, but it did seem like State was like super soft on the outside, playing everything in front of them. And, you know, some of the runs were like basic runs. Like it seemed like A&M was setting up a fourth and short or something like that, and they just broke through and there was nobody there. And it's,
third and eight, third and nine, you're just trying to play. You know you're the better team, so you're just trying to play a little field position. Hey, we'll run it here and punt it away, and then you look up and, oh, wait, we got 12 yards.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that happens.
And I thought, you know, on first and second down, they defended the run really well. Like, a lot of the first downs was, you know, maybe a yard or two running the football, and, you know, they might have to take something underneath. It was like constantly third and six or worse in a lot of cases, and State just couldn't get off the field. And I don't know, you know, that's something they would have to review. Like, they do chart, like, everything. Like, what happened on first and second down, what the plays were, what they were running, what the third down situations were like. They chart all that, so they have a pretty good idea about what it was. But at the same time, I don't know. I couldn't tell you what was different on that down in the first two downs other than lack of execution.
Yeah.
And it just – every third down conversion they were getting, it was like nowhere close to being stopped. Like they were easy third down conversions. That's what was really frustrating about it. It wasn't like, you know, third and two and you know they had to bring out a measurement or something like that. It was, you know, easily converting and moving the chains. And it was really – disheartening and frustrating, because like you said, the first and second downs were really good. If you're able to cut down on those third down conversions, like I said the other day, like if they had only converted five,
right,
like 5 of 14, I think we're talking completely differently about this defense.
I
really do, because at that point you're probably, you know, they're probably around 300 yards of total offense. You've held A&M to 300 yards of total offense, probably, you know, somewhere around 100 yards rushing. You can take away at least a touchdown or two off of the board. We're talking about this defense in a whole different light.
Yeah.
They're getting better. Coleman Hutzler has things going. But like he said in the press conference, the fine line that they have between enjoying a win and losing the ball game comes down to not executing on a few plays. And that's the game in itself. Like you've got to be able to execute when the plays are there to be made. And you do what you need to do, and putting a team behind the chains on third down and you can't get off the field, that's an issue. That's a problem that, you know, it's a much bigger issue, I think, than just talent.
You asked him you asked him a question I thought was interesting, because, you know, we're not sure about Mario Craver. And what his status is going to be. Like you said, you know, we won't say anything until the Wednesday report, which is just going to be, you know, that's how it's going to be going forward, no question. Which, of course, next week means we'll get no update, because if there's any injuries, because there is no SEC game next week, so State does not have to put out an injury report for the UMass game. But you asked him about, you know, what does that wide receiver rotation look like? Because we talked about it on the podcast yesterday that, you know, after Akari, Coleman, and Craver, you see some of Mosley. And that's really about it. State ran a lot of four wide sets on Saturday with two tight ends, where they had Coleman and Akari out there going with, or Craver and Coleman, or whoever, going with Ball and Traore. And it just doesn't feel like State had, you know, and you mentioned it, Whittemore and Hudson would be a part of that, but it doesn't feel like State has a fourth or fifth wide receiver they really have a lot of
trust
in. Now, he kind of coach-speaked his way through this answer. Didn't really answer the question, but it is something to consider that, you know, I guess Mosley would play a much bigger role if Craver's not able to go. But then beyond Stonka, you just don't see. I mean, J.J. Harrell's obviously going to redshirt this year. Jaden Wally played a few snaps late in the game last week, but there's just not a lot of options there.
Yeah, he said he liked the depth, so and he sees it every day. And maybe we'll see somebody pop in that just hasn't gotten opportunities.
Yeah.
Because I do think that there's talent there. Like, we might see, you know, we might see a San Francisco McGee or somebody have to pull a shirt? Yeah. I don't know. And it really depends on what Craver's injury is and kind of the extent of it. But I think, you know, kind of a simple fix is probably just move Kevin Coleman to the inside and let him run slot, mm-hmm. and then give Stonka Burnside more reps, Jordan Mosley. That's not a huge drop-off to me
right
at that point, because Mosley hasn't really done much since early on in the season, but we know he's capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Stonka is a lot more unproven,
mm-hmm.
but as far as the slot's concerned, you're not going to be losing anything.
Right.
If you move Kevin Coleman inside, you know, you're just as good, if not better. Kevin's been your best receiver this year. I don't know how much his style of play changes. I doubt a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably more middle of the field than, you know, on the outside, and one-on-one coverage, things like that. But, you know, I don't think that's going to be as big a deal if they go that route. And I don't think the outside is going to be that big of a drop-off either, just, you know, from a Jordan Mosley standpoint. But you definitely need Craver back, because it just adds more speed and more weapons on the field.
Yeah.
There's not many guys like Mario Craver. You know, Kevin Coleman and Mario Craver are kind of aliens in that way, that mm-hmm. they do their own thing. And, you know, Kelly Okoree is not quite the same kind of receiver, but he's very talented as well. And after that, I don't think there's many guys like those three.
Right.
So you really need those guys to be healthy, and hopefully Craver's is not a big injury and he's able to get back pretty soon.
All right. The sign for me this week, and I saw the sign, is brought to you by Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. Your business needs printing. Every business has to spend money on printing. Spend it with the best, and that's Pip Printing and Signs. 30 years of experience. They can help you get the message of your business out to your customers, whether it's signage inside the building, outside the building, or the marketing materials you're sending out to your customers. Everything can come under one banner with Pip Printing and Signs. No pun intended on that. Call Cam Baker today. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning, 601-499-5216. Don't forget, as a Bulldog Initiative business, you can become one with Pip Printing and Signs. You just have to tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. 10% of your sale will go directly to the Bulldog Initiative. When you need printing, call Pip today. The sign was something that, you know, and Brandon Marcello tweeted about this on Saturday. He said it's evident there's some buy-in, there's some culture being set here at Mississippi State. Lebby was asked about, you know, how do you keep everybody motivated? And he said he thinks that the guys in the building feel that the wins are coming, that they're doing, they know they're doing the things correctly, and it's just a matter of getting there. And I think that that's something that, you know, I'm going to bring this up today on Sports Talk on Monday. It's Monday as you're listening, but this time last year, this team was 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
This time now they're 1-6. But the fans were happier for what? They're happier now.
Yeah,
they're happier now at 1-6 than they were a season ago at 4-3.
We knew something was bad wrong with the team. We're just
teams. Yeah. This team, we're just looking at them and saying, if they fix the defense, they'll be fine. Lebby clearly knows what he's doing on offense. The offense is working. They've played, you know, they played a top 15 defense last week. They scored 24 points. They had more yards than them. They're fine. They just got to fix the defense. Last year it was like, wait a minute, this guy's in his first year, and it's gotten away from him this quickly. So that's the sign to me that Mississippi State fans, and it appears the team, the buy-in is still there for Jeff Lebby. And look, at 1-6, it could, with the way they lost to Toledo and to Arizona State, it could have very easily gotten away from him there. So I think that's a credit to him as a coach, that he was able to keep everybody in line and keep everybody in that locker room listening and still hearing his message going forward.
Yeah, for sure. That was the thing that we talked about preseason, was, you know, when they go through this stretch here, this was the stretch where we thought it could get really rocky for Mississippi State, but mm-hmm. we were hopeful they were going to be 4-0. Well, that didn't happen, and it actually felt like it was significantly worse than we could have imagined. After that Florida game, you're sitting there going, I mean, you're about to go play Georgia, Texas A&M, Tennessee. This is going to be a bloodbath. And how are you going to hold this team together? But almost immediately, when they went on the road, it's like something clicked with them, And while you haven't won games, it's felt like you've moved forward. And I like it's always been just kind of sad to me to be happy about losing a game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have to be realistic at this point and say it's not about the wins this year.
Mm-hmm.
As
at this point,
as sad as that sounds, and as I mean, that sounds like a loser mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But you really do have to look at big picture, and how the program is going to build moving forward. Because I'm not going to say that this is a ground up rebuild by Jeff Lebby, but it's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than the resources and things, I mean, he's going to have to rebuild this roster. Mm-hmm. Already started last year. The offense is almost entirely new and rebuilt mm-hmm. by him.
Yeah.
And defense now is going to have to go through that same thing that the offense did this year. And who knows about, you know, who's on the staff and all that. So the key thing is holding it together as a team, being able to learn from these losses and also not fall apart. Last year's teams fell apart. I don't think there's any question that team fell apart. And it kind of culminated with that blowout against Texas A&M.
Yeah.
But whenever Greg Knox took over, I think there was a rallying of the troops, per se, and they were able to play hard those last two ball games against Southern Miss and Ole Miss. It was a good ending, but that team really fell apart, I think.
Yeah.
This team, it feels like they're getting stronger, they're getting more focused, they're all kind of locked in on Jeff Lebby, and they feel good. Now it's all about finding a win. Can you find a win this weekend? Build on that, because at some point, as a man, as a human being, when you continuously get knocked down, it's very difficult to keep getting back up. At some point, it's going to be difficult for this team to get back up. And I kind of saw it in their eyes on Saturday that was a tough pill to swallow. They looked a little bit different than they did against Texas and Georgia. Hopefully this weekend they can find a way to win this ball game, because they deserve it, man. They deserve to get something good happening for them that's going to be tangible, that's going to be able to move them forward beyond just saying, yeah, we played close against Georgia and Texas A&M and Texas. You got to win at some point for these guys. And Lebby, you know, he continues to batter that point, is that, you know, we got to get better, but we got to get better and win. And he said that today. So I think that's the next step, is they have to win.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and I don't think winning against UMass counts in that discussion. You know, they expect to win
SEC
that game.
They
need to get the win this week. I think, look, I'm not telling you that if they win this weekend, they're going to win out. But I would tell you that my thought process would be, if they can beat Arkansas and beat UMass to win two in a row, then of their last three games, Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss, they will get one more of them.
Yeah.
I would feel pretty confident in that.
I agree. If they win this weekend, I think there is a very good chance
that they'll get four wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, at this point, you take it.
I think that's what's kind of missing from them right now, is they're finding ways to lose some of these games.
Oh, we talk about that all the time, about if you don't know how to win, you can't win.
Yeah. Baseball did that.
Yes.
You know, baseball was like, okay, well, they don't like just suck at everything. They're just having a tough time winning. Well, that's kind of this team now, is like, okay, you got the offense starting to click a little bit. The defense, as bad as it is, you know, you can kind of see some things. Like, if they just did this, if they executed this, they're off the field right here. They're just not doing any of that right now. Everything's going wrong for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just find a way to get a win and just to have something that you can just take all that weight off your chest,
mm-hmm.
I think that is that would be huge for this program. And being able to sell beyond, like, 2-10, that's going to be tough in the offseason to sell 2-10.
Agreed.
So can you get to 4? Because 4 looks a whole lot better than 2. It's still a losing record. But to me, if I see 4-8 and the back half of the schedule is, I lost to Texas by 22 when I was supposed to lose by 36. I lost to Georgia by 10 when I was supposed to lose by 34. I lost to Texas A&M by 10 when I was supposed to lose by 20. and then you start winning games. That is something to sell. That's something that, that can make a recruit excited, that that Jeff Lebby can use in recruiting to help him build a team next year that can get them bowl eligible. So, to me, that's the that they just got to find a way.
We'll see if they can do that. That's going to be the case, and we'll talk a lot more about that Arkansas game this weekend. But that, you know, that's such a pivotal game, and it's difficult to say you have pivotal games when you're 1-6. But if you want to have something to talk about and build upon, like you were just saying, then that's where it starts, is with getting a win against an Arkansas program that basically you've dominated for the last decade, and you want to see if you can keep that going. You want to be able to point to that game and say, look, even when we're down these last 2 years, as bad as State's been, we're 2-0 against Arkansas. So that becomes a point. So we'll see where it goes. All right, let's move into our SEC picks. It's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whatever you're doing this weekend, if you're firing up the grill, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. And if you don't want to cook, you want to stay, you know, go out to eat, well, then we have so many great steakhouses in the state of Mississippi. You can't go wrong at any of them. So enjoy some great beef this weekend. Either you're cooking it or you're letting somebody else do it. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats at the heart of the Cotton District is the place for smoked Southern soul food. Robbie, another week has gone by without us dining together at Two Brothers. I'm starting to think you're avoiding me.
You have not set up any visits to Two Brothers.
What am I? Dave Emmerich over here? I gotta set up visits?
Yes.
See, that's how you're wrong. If I was Dave Emmerich, I would set us up a visit at a terrible restaurant, and then I wouldn't recruit you, who was a 5-star prospect.
Well, you would recruit the bad players.
Exactly.
You would recruit some of the people in our media that shouldn't be recruited.
Exactly.
So I
don't want to be that. I want to be I want to be the high level recruiter.
Yeah.
So here's what
you consider me a 5-star?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. You got the frame, you got the measurables, you got the intangibles. You're everything we're looking for.
I got the measurables.
You're looking for it. You know, you're tall, you're dark, you're handsome. What's not to like?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, if I'm looking for somebody to have lunch with, I mean, I want it to be Robbie Faulk.
I get more compliments from you than I do my own wife.
Yeah, that's how life goes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with
like guys,
how marriage works.
Guys give other guys more compliments than their wives.
We're kings, Robbie. We have to support each other.
But the wives expect us.
Yes, I know how
to give the compliments.
Yes, I'm aware. I'm aware of how things work.
Yeah, you have me doubled up on, I think on years at this point
of marriage.
Yeah, when did you get married?
2002.
It's exactly doubled up. Yeah. I mean, I got married in it's not doubled up, but you got married 10 years before me.
Okay, yeah.
So I got married in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had 10 years worth.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Also, the older brother has great sandwiches that maybe Robbie and I can go eat there one day as well. Doesn't matter where Robbie and I go to eat, as long as it's Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the older brother, we're going to have a great, great time. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing now for 50 years.
50!
So when you are looking for business technology, if you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, you need to call Advantage Business Systems. And then if something goes wrong, you can call Advantage Business Systems back, and they'll come take care of it. And a lot of times that'll be the same day. You know, and so there, I would be willing to bet there are some instances where Advantage Business Systems can get to your business and fix your problem before the other place would have you off hold.
Nope.
That's a bold statement, but I'm willing to make it because I know the kind of service you get from Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192. Visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. You need to go get yourself some new gear. You need to get yourself some new logos. State Script, Interlocking, M over S. It's all right there at Maroon & Co. They have a better selection than anybody else in the city of Starkville. So go check them out this week. And also, don't forget to use our promo code, THUNDER15. Same 15% on any regular price time. Some exclusions do apply before you go to the games. You got to go to Maroon & Co. All right, about to take on the 85 Bears here. Here we go.
Greatest defense in the land.
Two games back. We've got five games to pick, but buddy, we have got some debate to have. I think we'll both agree on this first one, though. As much as we would love to see it, I think Ole Miss will beat Oklahoma pretty easily. Oklahoma is down bad right now.
It's pretty crazy. This is like our – I think we're both going to agree game.
Yeah.
Like it.
Do you know what the line is?
18 or
21. Ole Miss is a 3-touchdown favorite against Oklahoma.
Welcome to the SEC. This has been an Oklahoma team that dominated the Big 12. They've had a better run than Texas did.
Yeah.
And they've come here and it's just been a –
They were not ready for this.
No, they were not.
Just not ready.
It has been a struggle, man.
I said last year before the season started, I said, I don't know that Venables, if he has another year like he had in his first season, his first year they went 6-7.
We were kind of contemplating year one, like, is 6 wins going to keep him?
I was like, if he has another bad year like that, you cannot come into the SEC off back-to-back 6-win seasons. Now, he turned it around, had 10 wins, then you lose Dylan Gabriel, and you lose Jeff Lebby, and here you are, you had to fire your offensive coordinator.
Jeff Lebby was like the good thing about that program, too, when he was there.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about the defense was like an issue.
Yeah. 21-point underdogs. We'll both take the Rebels there.
Yeah, I think this is a get-right game for Ole Miss.
Yeah. Number 21, Missouri, at number 15, Alabama. We talked about this game in the preseason, and we were like, this might be Missouri might be coming in with no being coming in undefeated. They do have the one loss. They didn't have a get-right game against Auburn, but they did show some gumption there.
Should have lost that.
Should have lost, but came back to win, and Brady Cook is as tough as a, to quote our quote good old JR, tough as a $2 steak.
That's right.
It would be nothing funnier than Alabama to lose this game. That would be the absolute they might fire DeBoer.
Yes.
They might fire him if they lost this
losing
game.
To Vandy, Missouri, and
Tennessee
in the same year.
Three out of four weeks.
And should have lost to South Carolina. They're not losing to juggernauts.
Yeah.
You know,
they beat Georgia.
That's what's crazy. They beat Georgia, and you know, Tennessee to me is one of the top three teams in the league from a talent and, you know, organizational standpoint, and I still think they have what it takes. But at the same time, Bama, usually they should have won that game. With Saban, they probably win that game. So the games they've lost have just been embarrassing. Like the most embarrassing losses they've had since probably 2007, which, by the way, was the last time, I think I saw this correct, the last time they started 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
Was two losses through the first seven games.
Not,
they weren't 5-2-07, but that was the last time, according to this tweet I saw, that they had two losses through seven games.
2007.
I mean, I was a senior. No, I was a freshman in college.
So 2007, Saban's first year.
Yes,
they started off 3-0. Then they lost back-to-back games to Georgia, and they lost to a really bad Florida State team. That Florida State team went 7-6. That might have been. That's close to the end for Bowden.
That's Bobby Bowden.
Then they rolled off 3 straight wins. Then they rolled off 4 straight losses.
So they were 6-2.
They were 6-2, and they lost to LSU, who won the national title that year. Then they lose to Mississippi State. They lost to ULM, and then they lost to Auburn.
Yeah, that ULM was like low point.
That was the low point. So have we seen the low point for Alabama yet? Was Vanderbilt it?
This is DeBoer is going to be exactly what I thought he was going to be. I think
he'll be good.
I think he'll be okay, but he's going to be like the scapegoat. They're going to kill him. Not literally, but
yeah.
They're going to kill him for the next guy.
They might
actually do it. Hopefully not. But he's going to be the forgotten man. He's going to be the guy after the legend, and then the next guy that comes in is going to take him back.
Never
to
be the guy
after
that
the
follows
guy.
The guy. Who was the guy after Bear Bryant? Do you know?
Before Gene Stallings, right?
There's two coaches before Gene Stallings.
I don't know.
Ray Perkins and
Ray
Bill
Perkins.
Curry.
I do remember Bill Curry.
Nobody remembers Ray Perkins.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
DeBoer is going to be the forgotten man.
Yeah, I agree.
He's gonna finish.
They're going to lose one more this year, and they're not going to make the playoff.
And then next year he's going to lose 3 games, and they're going to fire him because he lost 3 games.
If they lose to LSU, they go 9-3. They play. Let's say they play in the Citrus Bowl against. I'm trying to think of who the Big Ten team could be there.
Iowa.
What if they lose that game? What if they go 9-4? When you're done.
He's gonna always look at this like Mullen.
I had it in Washington, I had it made.
Mullen thinks about that a lot.
Yeah.
Because it was probably nothing but stress at Florida. And it was probably stressful here, but not anywhere near the same kind of stress.
No chance.
Imagine the stress that he's feeling at Alabama.
Yeah.
You just took over for the greatest coach of all time, and I have no reservations even saying that Nick Saban is the greatest coach over Bear Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
You took over for the greatest of all time. After you were going to the national championship at Washington, you had a national championship caliber program.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be stressful at all times. You know those fans are psycho. He's hearing it every single day. They're talking about what shirt he's wearing on the sidelines. It's crazy. All that to say, I think Bama wins this game.
We think Bama was going to win, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Game of the weekend in Nashville. No, it's not, but it's fun to think about. Number 5, Texas.
Number
25, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt all time, 8-3 against Texas.
The winningest SEC football program against Texas, I think.
Texas is 18.5-point favorite. I will tell you this. I would take Vandy in the points. I think Vanderbilt will keep them close. But do I think Vanderbilt's going to win? No, I can't go that far.
They barely beat Ball State the other day. I mean,
Vandy winning that game was nothing. But they were like a 26-point favorite. I was just like, there's no chance. They're not that good.
I want to give them more credit.
Yeah.
But I
can't.
I mean,
look, if they lose this game, who cares? They're still going to go to a bowl.
Right.
They're probably going to win 7 games.
Yeah.
So,
and they would have beaten Alabama in that stretch.
Yes. They're fine.
They're going to have
but they'll lose this game.
Going to have 3 SEC wins this year.
They'll lose this.
They're going to beat Auburn too, I think.
They still have Kentucky too, I think.
They beat Kentucky.
Yeah. They have somebody else though.
They play Auburn.
They have Auburn, but there's another one too.
Vanderbilt. Tennessee.
South Carolina. They host South Carolina.
And I don't know what South Carolina is. I really don't.
I'm telling you right now, don't be surprised when they beat Tennessee the last week of the season. I'm not going to pick
it
right.
Is that at Tennessee?
It's in Vanderbilt. It's in Nashville.
And it's going to be like 85% Tennessee fans.
Can you imagine a year at Vanderbilt where you beat Alabama and Tennessee? Jeez Louise, just retire at that point, Clark Lee. We'll both take the Longhorns. Here's the real game of the weekend. Number 8 LSU at number 14 Texas A&M. Oh, by the way, like Texas A&M and LSU are undefeated in the SEC. They are leading. This is a game to see who sits atop the SEC.
The winner of this could win the SEC.
The winner of this is for sure going to the playoff. And it's also kind of a playoff eliminator, right? Because both teams have another loss. LSU lost to USC.
They could still get in with two.
A&M could get in with two.
Yes.
LSU, if they lose this game, would be difficult because USC is not a good loss right now.
No, A&M lost to Notre Dame.
That's a better loss. In College Station, these next two games are the ones that are going to be iffy for us. So I'll pick first on this one, and you can pick first on the second one. Give me the Aggies. I think the Aggies defend their home turf. I think defensively they will pressure Nussmeier like he hasn't really been pressured before. And I think A&M is barreling towards a 10-1 start, or it's not really a start at that point, a 10-1 record when they play Texas. You could have them both at 10-1, and the winner of that game goes to the SEC championship game, and the loser does not, and it might even be a playoff eliminator at that point. Give me the Aggies to win this one.
I swear I'm not playing defense. I'm not going to pick the other team just to pick.
Mm.
I think Texas A&M is going to have it up front. I think they're going to win up front. And you know, LSU the last couple of weeks, the thing that's really driven them is their pass rush, getting a push on the defensive side with their front seven. And I think A&M is equipped to block that. And I still got some questions about LSU's defense. So, you know, I think that A&M is going to get after Nussmeier. Really interesting stat I saw today. I think Nussmeier, is this correct that he's only been sacked once this year?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Because, you know, teams have been getting pressure on him. He's a lot better than what people want to give him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that late in the game against Ole Miss. I wasn't like super impressed with him during that game, and then late in the game he just found an extra gear.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see this going either way, but I'm going to get A&M the edge at home.
Okay.
And the defensive line, the edge rushers they have, just I think they're going to be able to get back there and get Nussmeier.
All right. This last game. Going to be disgusting
does
to watch.
Anyone wanna, does either one of these teams want to watch this game?
Oh, I'm going to watch. Just I'm a train wreck kind of guy. I am an absolute sicko. Auburn at Kentucky.
Ugh.
The loser of this game could be the worst team in the conference. They're right there with Oklahoma. Mississippi State's in that discussion, but State's been playing better. 6:45 kick in Lexington. Kentucky's a 2.5-point favorite.
Vegas was like, eh.
It's like, I just don't care.
Just give them we'll just say it's even and we'll give them the edge because it's home.
Your pick, sir.
I'm going to go Auburn.
Oh! You're going to do what?
Yeah. Kentucky got beat by Vandy at home. They got swacked by South Carolina. The only thing that we've really seen from Kentucky as far as the signs of life is the Ole Miss game.
Yeah.
And it was just a good game plan. Ole Miss was kind of sloppy in the game.
Yeah.
I think Kentucky's worse than Auburn. I think Auburn has a solid defense. The offense is kind of the issue. I think they figure it out this week and get a win. So you cannot say I'm playing defense.
I can if you're with picking a pick like Auburn. This. Well, we're going to have this might be where you get hold of this competition here. Because I'm going to take the home team.
Or you get back in it.
I could get back in it, or it could be over. Being three down with, 5 weeks to go, 6 weeks to go, would be tough. But I'm going to take the Wildcats here. I think Auburn's on the verge of quitting. Nothing is working for them right now. They were up 17-6 in the second half on Missouri and let them get back in that game and win it. They just can't score. Their offense is so bad. And I know Kentucky is not much better, but at home, I'm going to take the home team here. So I will take the Wildcats. We'll play.
I wanted to see something. This is the worst stretch I can remember.
For Auburn?
For Auburn. This is
four straight seasons coming up.
Four straight seasons that they've won six games or less. And it's going to happen again this year. It's going to be their fourth straight. It's going to be their fourth straight losing season. Their fifth straight of six wins or less.
So Auburn,
and the last time that happened, I mean, you gotta
go back decades.
I mean,
let's see here. Like they've had a couple of 5 and 6 years. So in 75
through 78,
they were six wins or less every year.
But this
is different.
This is
6-5,
man.
It's 6-7, 5-7, 6-7. What are they right now?
They've won three games, haven't they?
So they're 3-4. I mean, let's just double check. They're 2-5.
Ooh.
So they're 2-5. Let's say I'm right, okay? And then they lose to Kentucky. So they're 2-6. They host Vanderbilt.
They're losing that game.
2-7. They host ULM, who I believe is 6-1. We were talking about ULM just a minute ago.
New Mexico State game.
We were just talking about ULM in Alabama in 2007.
Yep.
We'll give them that one, though. We'll just give it to them, right?
So this is going to be the worst.
They're 3-7. Then they host A&M. They're losing that. 3-8, and then they're going to play at Alabama. Watch Freeze find a way to beat Alabama. That would get DeBoer fired this year.
He'll get an extension for that too.
He would.
This will be their worst year since 2012. That year
that was the year that Chizik got fired.
Yep.
So yeah. All right. I've got the Wildcats. He's got the Tigers. That's the difference this week. On the pick'em. We'll see what happens. Rumblings Day tomorrow. Get your questions in now. Robbie and I'll be happy to answer them. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.